Hello and welcome to the Footvey English podcast in collaboration with World Football Index, a unique mix of fandom and journalism. Footvey English is your one-stop shop for all things Venezuelan football in the English language, from the men's to the women's and the domestic leagues to the national teams. Today we are joined by Diego Atuesta of Transfer Room. He handles the commercial side of things in the Americas. And the reason we have Diego on today is to discuss Transfer Room's new agreement partnership deal with Liga Footvey and Liga Footvey 2, which will see all 31 professional teams in Venezuela on the platform and active from the next international transfer window. Diego, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Hi, Jordan. Everything all right? How are you doing?
All good. Thank you very much for joining us today. I wanted to open with how Transfer Room and Venezuelan football became partners in the first place. Obviously, it developed with Carabobo and Caracas, but has progressed quite substantially since then. Could you take us through how all of this came about?
Sure, Jordan. Thanks for the invite. Happy to be here with you. It started, I mean, we've been working on Venezuela for quite a long while. First communication was with Manuel from the league. That was actually not done by me, but it was done by, I knew Manuel from a past job, but another colleague of mine had spoken to Manuel about this. Manuel knew about Transfer Room. He had the idea that he wanted to join, but then he needed to be prepared for it. So it then went quiet. When I joined, I spoke to Manuel again. So I went directly to the league. That was the first approach. Manuel said they definitely wanted to join, but again, it wasn't the right timing. So we pushed that conversation another year, probably. And then I think there were two key points here. One was Carabobo's free trial. Carabobo had a free trial with Salvatore Simeone, using the platform very well on the free trial month that he had. He had used Transfer Room before when he used to work at Leeds. He used it pretty well. And actually during that month, he got the chance to bring Bagayoko through Transfer Room. We talk about facilitating deals, Jordan, here in Transfer Room. We play a role in a deal. We're not doing the deals. The deals are not done in the platform, but we play a role. So we play the role in Bagayoko coming to play in Venezuela. And then the other bit was I met Philip from Caracas in Medellin, and we had a long chat about this. He liked the product. He came to one of the events. He also had a quick trial, and he very quickly realized this was something that could help them a lot. So Caracas was the first club to join, and Philip was key. The fact that we had a success story with Bagayoko already working, playing in Venezuela, plus Philip's comments and his idea of the events, I think those were the two key parts to start a conversation again with Manuel and end up with a league deal.
Excellent. And the fact that sort of Caracas had that exclusivity, if you like, within Venezuela, being the only Venezuelan club using it on a full-time basis prior to the league, and now the league having it in full, there's like a bit of competition of Caracas being the exclusive and now the league having it all, but a lot of onus on getting the most out of this platform is how the clubs individually use it. As the service provider, how will Transfer Room assist the clubs in making the most of this platform? Because international recruitment in Venezuela can be very hit and miss. It's for various reasons. There's a limit on players, what area of the world players are going to come to realistically to Venezuela. Historically, it's hired from the other countries in the Americas. Also, there's a reluctance of some clubs to bring in non-Spanish speakers or particularly bring in players from Europe, for example, because of the change in lifestyle, the change in culture. How can Transfer Room facilitate clubs to use this platform intelligently?
So first, on your first point on Caracas being the only one at the beginning and then the other ones joining, I think the main problem, and we've discussed this in length with everyone in Venezuela, the main problem the Venezuelan league has right now is they need to sell more players. And they have this problem as a whole. It's not a problem. In Colombia, they will say, I'm Colombian, by the way, And in Colombia, they will say, everybody will say, we want to sell more players, but then there's some clubs that do sell. In Venezuela, it's a problem that goes across all teams. They want to sell more players. The talent is there, but then the exposure is not getting there. And there's some kind of blockers that for this happening. I believe that the fact how Manuel saw it and bringing on the whole league and giving exposure to the whole league, it's the best way. I actually think if I was a club and I see that another club does a deal, I would be happy for it. It's, even though it's competition, right? But I will be happy because the ecosystem is starting to move. So I think one key point here is to start looking this as a whole ecosystem. In Venezuela, the owners of the club start looking at this as an ecosystem and not individually. They need to compete as a Venezuelan brand at the beginning, and then they will earn their money when they sell their players. But the Venezuelan brand has to grow as a whole at the beginning. So I want to make that point on that you mentioned. And then
I fully agree, by the way. The visibility is key. And hopefully going on Transfer Room is something that aids this visibility, because as someone that sort of sits both sides of the fence, a lot of the feedback that I've had in this calendar year around the world is that there's a reluctance to sign players from Venezuela this year specifically due to the lack of visibility, the lack of data, and the lack of transferable data. So obviously Liga Footbay has been with Opta this year, and the data Opta provide is very, very good. In my opinion, far more exhaustive than Y Scout, for example. But the problem is, clubs are using Y Scout and they can't reliably cross-reference data from one platform to another. So the visibility or the lack of visibility has been a real issue this year.
Agreed, agreed, and it's been something discussed again with the clubs. We will bring different kind of visibility. Opta will give you a lot of data points. Y Scout will give you range, I would say, because a lot of clubs use it. Not the depth of the data that of Opta, but the range of clubs using it plus the video. That's what Huddl and Y Scout will give you. And what we give you is another side of it. We people don't buy Transfer Room to analyze players. That's what other platforms are for. You buy Transfer Room to know in real time what other clubs are looking for and to be able to receive offers from different players. So going back to your question about how we're gonna help, I think we can help in two sides. One is the recruitment bit, and we've seen that it can happen. We've seen a very strange case for Venezuela, like a Bagayoko coming. I think there are players that are out there and that will be willing to come to South America and to Venezuela. It's just a matter of how traditionally the football markets work. Normally, the football markets are prisoners of how they normally work. They will have a set of contacts and they will move, and I'll bring this Argentinian, I'll bring this Colombian, and I'll send the players to Peru or to Panama, right? And that keeps that's the culture, and changing a culture is very, very difficult. But then this is where technology can disrupt. This is where, with technology, you suddenly land on a platform, and we've seen the reaction of many of the clubs when we onboard them, and they can't believe there's 700 clubs connected in one same place, and that they're looking and they're seeing what club is looking for what player. Then the next level of the problem is, do those clubs need your player? And that's something we can't guarantee. You're going to have the option to know who's looking for what and offer the players, but then if it happens or not, well, it has to be a quality player, and you need to make the business, right? But I think we're going to help clubs recruit, we're going to help clubs sell, and we're going to help clubs with visibility.
And in terms of Venezuela specifically, obviously as a football fan yourself and neighbor to Venezuela in the sense of being Colombian, do you see, with a baseline knowledge of Venezuelan football, do you see Transfer Room facilitating more on the outgoing side of things or the incoming side of things? What's been the reception from clubs? Are they looking at Transfer Room as a way of exporting talent primarily, or also as a hiring tool?
I would say 99% of the clubs tells us their objective is to sell players, right? And this is not only Venezuela. This is across all Latin America that we get this. They all want to do this. But then they will realize over time that they can also get value by recruiting, right? Getting into international spots in Venezuela is really important because it gives you a different boost economically, right? So competing is also important. So you're going to need your recruitment as well. So if you ask me, I think the main objective of all the clubs will be to sell. We're going to get some sales, and that's the idea, and I'm pretty sure there will be. But then there will be a lot of players also coming in, and clubs will slowly see that the return on investment on this kind of tools is not only selling a player, it's how many people I met, how many deals I facilitated coming in, how this player generated an impact on my team, and I couldn't have met this player if it wasn't through this. So there's many ways, but yeah, I think for clubs selling, but I think there will be both sides. I
One
anticipate,
really.
Jordan, I anticipate a lot of loans coming in. I think Venezuelan clubs are in a good position to attract some quality players from big teams in LATAM that are looking for more playing time. So I anticipate we can get a lot of loans coming in into Venezuela. There was actually another one, not only Bakayoko, but there was a I don't remember the name right now, but it was an Argentinian striker that came to Carabobo, if I'm not wrong as well, and it came through a connection in transfer also.
Balassa.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one thing I was going to ask you something separately. About one aspect of the platform I really like. I've been using the platform myself for 3 months or so now. And one element I really like of it is the sort of the expected transfer value metric that you have. Could you tell us a bit about that and how it works for the standard listener? And also whether you share the opinion that I do, that I think this is something that could add real value to Liga Footvey, because I think one problem Liga Footvey has, alongside of just the general issue of selling players, often clubs look to Venezuela to sign free transfer players, is not getting perhaps the money they deserve for the players.
Agreed. That's a problem, but that comes back to my first point, which you agreed on, and it's you need to generate an ecosystem that sells. That ecosystem will, as a mass, grow in value, and then you can start selling players. So there's a long way to go to start selling players at a very high value, but definitely it's something that we can help get there. The XTV is a We call it expected transfer value. What we do is we work with, it's very well known in the market, transfer market, right? And you'll know transfer market tells you the player costs this and that. We have a different approach. I'm not saying one is right or one is wrong, but it's just different. Our approach is data driven. Our approach is made on, our XTV is based on how much long does this player have in his contract. So if Kevin Kelsey, has 6 months left in his contract, no matter how good he is, no matter if he scores goals in Champions League, he's going to be worth zero, right? Because he's going to go on a free. Transfermarkt doesn't take into account this kind of things. We take into account how the league where they are at sell. So Kevin Kelsey being a Shakhtar definitely makes him more valuable than if he is on a Slovakian club that wouldn't sell players. So it takes into account the level that the player is playing at, and it looks at that on a weekly basis, so it's constantly updated. It takes into account how the league he's playing in and how the club he's playing in sells, and it takes into account how much left he has on the contract and similar cases. I'm talking about Kevin Kelsey because he's the most valued Venezuelan player we have currently on our XTV.
And what's the value of here, by the way?
£7 million is what we value him in. So yeah, £7 million is the value we have right now on XTV for him.
Okay, interesting. And that's a player that prior to leaving Venezuelan football at the beginning of the year had around 20, 25 professional games. He was still 18, around 5 or 6 goals in Venezuelan football. It's incredible how your surroundings can have that effect and on your value. And going back to your comment about transfer market, which I again pretty much agree with. One thing I've found frustrating with that, and I've had Manuel Veth on from transfer market, by the way, a really nice guy and a great friend to Football English, is that I think the transfer values for Venezuela, and I'm only talking about Venezuela because I think it's fairly good in many other parts of the world, almost put a ceiling on what clubs will spend on players. Because I think it's almost sinful, but the amount of agents, particularly, and secondarily clubs that use transfer market as a guide to what players should cost and what clubs are willing to spend on players, transfer market limits Venezuela in a way for that. Because if you look at I think the most valued player is Yerson Chacon. I think at one point it was 400,000. Now I think it's around 600,000 off the top of my head. you know, that limits, that places a ceiling on player values. David Martinez, who's going to go for probably multi-million, is you know, is he even half a million? I'm not sure. Again, I'm riffing from the top of my head, but I spend a lot of time on these websites. Going back to the loan system, or perhaps loans being something you think will really help the Venezuelan market, I find that comment interesting too, because as a lover of Venezuelan football, as someone that now lives here because of that love, but as an outsider that can perhaps be a bit more critical of things, it frustrates me to see Venezuelan clubs hire players from the third division, or perhaps even lower, of other South American clubs. Of course, Venezuela has its place in CONMEBOL, which is an incredibly competitive confederation. But I think Venezuela is better and deserves better than that. And I think having a better network can see players from higher leagues who need the exposure, who need the game time, coming to leagues like Venezuela, particularly to the clubs that are playing group stages of Copa Libertadores, group stages of Sudamericana. What I wanted to ask you, and perhaps this will lead us into the final stages of the podcast, is quite a pointed question, but please don't take offense. I've heard lots of feedback from agents about transfer room. Perhaps these are agents that haven't used transfer room, and perhaps it is. They see transfer room as competition. The most extreme views are that transfer room are going to drive agents out of the game or drive their business right down. Do you see transfer room as a competition to agents or a facilitation?
Definitely not competition. And this is a question, Jordan, we get a lot. And I'm happy you asked it, because it's important to clarify. I've had this chat also with Venezuelan agents about this. And it not only happens in Venezuela. I'll go back a bit, a couple of years, to the story of transfer room. And I think this can explain. Transfer room started by being a club-to-club platform, and during the first 4 years it was only club to club. We and when I say we, transfer room, we quickly realized that agents were a key role here. There's always going to be an agent sitting in a negotiation, right? Because in every football negotiation, there's a club buying, there's a club selling, and there's a player, and the player is represented by an agent, so they need to be part of it. We welcomed in June 2021 agencies. Now we have more than 400 trusted agencies working with us in the platform. So right now we've proven for over a couple of years that agents and clubs can do business here. What it is, it's a place where you're going to be able to have your players, and you'll have like the Instagram blue tick that it says you are the agent. It will say, I am the verified agent of this player. So if you have your portfolio of players, you're going to be able to protect your players and you're in transfer room, and you're going to be able to say, this is me. I'm just going to give an example. Southampton was looking for Carlos Alcaraz. They went into the platform. The club wasn't there. So they saw that who was there, the agent was there representing. They saw the profile. They could see the track record of the agency. They could see everything the agency has done. They clicked on declare interest to the agent. A message popped into the agent's account, and it ended up being a 13 million euro deal from Racing to the Premier League for Carlos Alcaraz. So this is just a case, but we have many and many cases of agencies doing business. Now, to give a clear example, if you are a club and you want, I'm going to say whatever, I'm going to say Soteldo, and Soteldo has 6 months left in his contract, and you're sitting there and you want to hire him, you go into the profile in transfer room and you see that you can contact Santos, but the agent is also there. Who are you going to contact? The agent. The guy's got 6 months left in the contract. You need to speak to the agent because you need to get your better deal, right? So in football, you need to make a choice all the time. Do I want to speak to the agent? Do I want to speak to the club? But what we want to give our clients in transfer room is transparency and visibility of everything. We want to give you transparency of who really is the guy representing this player. We want to give you transparency and visibility of the contract. We're going to give you transparency and visibility and access to be able to reach out either to the club, to the agency, or to both. So I think it had that conception just because we started by only being a club-to-club platform. I always tell agents, what if we had started only with agents? No non-agent would have joined transfer room because we needed the clubs to attract the agents. So there was just some steps to follow. But But that's the only reason why I think agents could be afraid of Chazrom. It's definitely not. We're a player that we're sitting in the middle and we're helping everyone do more business and connect with each other. But there's you don't close deals in Chazrom by using this. We actually have a couple of agencies from Venezuela working with Chazrom as well.
Excellent. And I tend to agree with you. I think it's a facilitation for agents. If you're an agent, and you're not on the platform, your players are still, far more visible than by not being on the platform. And you could even say that some of the hard legwork of agents is done for them, by being on the platform. But I think this is something that some agents, also where their fear comes from. And perhaps this isn't applicable around the world, but some agents tell me the worry is if the deal was done club to club, then the club will say to the agent, "Hey, you had nothing to do with it. We're not paying you any commission," that kind of thing. But that's outside of the remit of Transfer Room, and it's to be honest, none of your concern. But your answer is insightful, and perhaps will put some worries to rest. Thank you very much. Before I wrap up the podcast, is there anything you would like Venezuelan football to know about Transfer Room, about the deal, things to be excited about? I know you said earlier before we started the podcast, there's an event coming up in Portugal, I think you said, and there are going to be some Venezuelan clubs in attendance.
Yeah, I think the message we want to send to Venezuelan football is we're here to help give this visibility. We're here to help make more deals. We help in two ways. One is the online, which we've spoken in length, the platform, what you can find, the XTVs, this kind of stuff. But we are also not naive. We know that football moves by meeting people. So we have a calendar of events. We have around 7 events per year, some of them virtual, some of them face to face. And our next face-to-face event will be in Lisbon. These are events where we get together clubs for them to negotiate deals. So it's the importance of meeting face-to-face other people. In this case, we already have 3 clubs. I anticipate we could get one more from Venezuela confirmed to be attending the event. And I think apart from the platform and doing all this, building relationships are things that last forever. So I think it's good for the clubs to know that they have this as well, where they can build relationships with other people, and you never know. We've seen a lot of deals coming through some beers after the event when you meet people at those events. It's really exciting to see how we sit on the same place, 350 clubs, and we currently help in a big percentage of the transfers made in the world.
Excellent. And although I didn't plan to ask, it just pops into my head when you were talking about that. I remember that when the deal was announced, it's not just Liga Footvey, but also Liga Footvey 2 that are tied into this deal. But even when Liga Footvey was on Y Scout and previously Instat as well, Liga Footvey 2 was not really on it, not in a usable way anyway. Is there internal plans between yourself and the league for Liga Footvey 2 to benefit just as much as Liga Footvey from this? Or in reality, is it going to be something that you need to be in the Venezuelan Primera Division to really benefit from?
Both divisions have access to Transfer Room. It's different packages and different. There will be some more restrictions on the Liga Footvey 2, but restrictions that are thought about and it won't affect what they'll do. They won't know if a club is looking for a striker for 10, 20 million, some things that they will still it will be difficult for them to sell players for that value. So I think they will have visibility, and this was something the league asked for. They think the league as a whole, and if one league is going to join, they want both leagues to join. And they're thinking on, again, going back to this ecosystem, they're thinking on the whole Venezuelan ecosystem and how it can grow. And I think it was wise on the league to get both leagues in.
Okay, and again, I'm going to have one final question. I keep getting reminded of things that I think are relevant. I saw, unfortunately, I couldn't see a date on it. You'll probably know, but I saw that Transfer Room went into partnership with a club in Panama, CAI. When was that?
This was 1 month ago, 1 month and a half ago,
Okay,
I
so
would say.
very recent. Okay, perfect. No, because the question I was going to ask is a lot of people see the leagues as comparable, as similar, although I personally believe that the Venezuelan league is sort of a step up in the ecosystem from Panama. I was going to ask, what successes the club had had, because it could perhaps be comparative, but obviously 1 month is also a young thing. So if anything, it would be nice to see in tandem how Panama and Panamanian clubs benefit from it in comparison to Venezuela, because that could answer some really interesting questions.
It's actually the most players sold from one country to another. I mean, Panama and Venezuela do a lot of business, and we're actually speaking to the Panama League right now, and they are considering doing what Venezuela did, right? And not only getting one individual club like Caracas was, CAI is in Panama, but yeah, we're having those conversations, and I'm pretty sure it could help a lot. We are actually growing a lot in Central America as well. We a couple of weeks ago we welcomed Liga Deportiva Alajuelense, we welcomed Saprissa, we have Real España in Honduras. We're very close on getting our first Guatemalan club. So it's moving a lot in the Central American region now that you mentioned Panama.
Excellent. That's great to hear, because again, it's markets that Liga Footbay have hired from in recent years and seem to be growing. Like we had a Guatemalan in the league this season at Monagas, for example. Panama in recent years has been very strong with players that played in the World Cup in 2018 or have used Liga Footbay as a stepping stone. Freddy Gondola, for example, the winger, Yaracoyanos first, a small club in present terms. Then went on to Deportivo Táchira, got the exposure at continental level and is now playing, good football in Costa Rica. Thank you very much for your time, Diego. This is going to make for a very insightful episode. I really appreciate it.
No problem, Jordan. Pleasure to be here, and thanks for the invite.